Well, we'll try to bring together today. I don't think we're quite through with prayer, but we'll still. This will bring together a lot of the things that we've talked about so far. First of all, obviously, that prayer is about relationship, and that will be big in what we talk about today. And prayer and the Word will hopefully get some practical ways to apply that today. And definitely the idea of stop and pray, because this will take a little planning, and that you will have to stop and put other things aside to seek God, and persevering in prayer. And this will take a little perseverance to spend some extended time in prayer, and faith that there's a purpose in it. It's not just a exercise in discipline that God says, call on me and I will answer you. And certainly, I don't want to just set aside a day unless there's a purpose behind it. And so we must, if we're going to do this, I think it requires some faith to believe that God is going to answer our prayer. And intercession, this is a big part of what we're going to talk about today, is praying for others. So a lot of the things that we have talked about is we're going to bring together and be able to put into practice. So this is sort of, I don't know what you call this. It's not really teaching. Maybe it's training. If you have a question when we're going through this, just feel free to speak up and ask it. And maybe it's better just to deal with it while it's on your mind instead of asking you to write it down, because you'll never write it down and put it in the box. So if something comes to your mind, just ask about it as we're moving through this. And I may have to repeat the question so that it gets picked up on the tape for other people. But we're going to talk about a personal prayer retreat. And at first I called it spending a day in prayer. And Lori told me that was kind of intimidating. So I changed the title. I've learned to listen to that voice. And I think that was a good idea to do that, because this is not about a thing of discipline and hardness. This is about coming away. God saying to you, come away with me. Come away with me. And set aside a time that we can just spend a day together. And that's what this is about. It's, as you see there on your outline, a couple things, quotes, my sheep listen to my voice. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When can I go and meet with God? And whether you realize it or not, you desperately need to spend some time with God, some extended time with God. And what better way to do that than to have a personal retreat, a prayer retreat with God? And a lot of things can motivate doing this. I think that we as a body, this should be enough to motivate you to do this. For where God has us is He has us focusing on and learning to pray. So that's enough. But a lot of times it takes more. So maybe there could be a spiritual dryness in your life. Maybe you haven't been able to pray. You know, it could be an important decision. You need direction on something. Maybe there's a special burden for a child, for a mate, for a friend, and you just haven't really put the time in praying for that person like you have been called to, then this would be a perfect time to do that. You know, I think that as we look at starting new Firm Foundation Bible studies, I think this is something we need to implement, is that individuals just set aside a day and spend some extended time praying for that, for the people that would be involved, and praying for direction, if this is where we are to do it, and if we are to do it, and who we are to invite, and that sort of thing. That we need to more implement this sort of thing as a part of when we're beginning to reach out. So God is willing to be found. He wants to be found, but He wants you to seek Him. And He wants you to take the time to seek Him. And He promises, if you seek Me, you will find Me. And I think I can promise you that if you'll follow through on this, that there will be a huge blessing in this. And God will move in response to your prayer. So, the way that we're going to use this tool, we're just going to kind of work through this. If you set aside some extended time, and somebody will probably have to help you do this. You'll probably have to, as far as there's kids, there's jobs, there's all sorts of things that you'll need to schedule. But you schedule other things, you know. You take vacations, you go shopping around Christmas time for a half a day or a full day. There are a lot of things that you schedule. So it could be that we're leaving God out of this type of thing, and that He needs to be at the center, not left out for sure. So it'll take a plan. And, you know, this day of prayer is not like you just, okay, I'm going to go get alone in my closet and I'm just going to pray all day long. I think you'd probably run out of something to say pretty quickly if you're like me. So I've given you an outline here. And this is not about just doing that sort of thing, but make yourself even a schedule to go by. And it might be that you schedule an hour to do this first section. And you use this, or you could even go through this in your regular quiet time to prepare for a full day of prayer, to where you already have attributes of God written out that you can have pray, you can have some worship time and that sort of thing. So that would be a good thing to do. But you could set aside, like, say, an hour for this and, you know, half an hour for repentance, half an hour for intercession, schedule a lunch break, you know. And if you're doing this much time alone and maybe you're getting quiet, it may be that you fall asleep. Plan that in. Don't get guilty about something like that. Plan that in and say, well, if I take a half hour nap during this time, that's okay. I'll be refreshed. And I can go and get back at it. This is not about boot camp. Now, we'll get to the point. There will be some more intense times of prayer. But we're looking at this as a time away with God, a retreat with Him. You could do it for more than one day and it would be beneficial. You could do it for half a day. When you try this and you spend some time doing this, I think it will enrich your regular quiet time and make your quiet time that you have every day more fulfilling and more organized. So this could be a very beneficial thing for us. During the worship time, you know, don't be limited by what I'm telling you. I'm just giving you some ideas. Put on a CD that you really like. Maybe Josh and Ange could put together a CD for us that would help us with this. And listen to some music. And worship. You know, be creative with what works for you. But let's work through this. So, one of the best ways to start is just telling God that you want to meet with Him. And that you want to seek His face. And you want to know Him. And that you're asking Him to draw near to you. That you're drawing near to Him. You're hungry for Him. And you want to know Him more. That is a good first step. Let's go to a couple of verses here. The first one is written out there. It's wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. That means that if He doesn't, I say this tongue in cheek in a sense, but if He doesn't show up immediately, that you're not, oh, this is not working out. It's that you're willing to wait. You're willing to persevere. Let's go to a couple of verses here. Isaiah 40, 31. You know, like I said, you might already have some of these written out by using this in your regular quiet time. You know, I went to one of the first people to introduce this idea to me was a long time ago. I shared some stories for me from 20 years ago. This was even before that. There was a guy I was working with youth, and I went to a kind of a training thing for youth workers. And this guy's name was Dan DeHaan. He died at age of 33 in a plane crash. He was a young guy. He had been chaplain for the Atlanta Falcons and just really neat guy. And I thought I was going to go and get all these ideas of working with youth and all this stuff. But this guy just purely had a passion for God. And that's what we talked about. His philosophy, it was promoted as a youth workers training, but his philosophy was, if I can get these guys to develop a passion for God, then the rest will take care of itself. And that's what we did. And he talked to us about spending full days in prayer and doing this sort of thing. And it's like, that really caught my attention a long time ago. And so I've kind of been, over the years, I've just sort of been trying to develop this every now and then, just doing this, just taking some time and doing it. And it is really, it's time for me to do it again. But let's go to, let's read this, Isaiah 40, 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And the next one, Psalm 42, 1. As the deer pants for streams of water, my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When can I go and meet with God? You know, I don't know how many times I have just prayed this verse. Just, this is opening up. God, I desire to know you more. But forgive my lack of desire. Give me more desire. I'm acting on the little bit of desire I do have. Reveal yourself to me. I want to meet with you. Come and meet with me. I want to know you, God. Now you tell me, what father, even earthly father, would not respond to that from his child? Daddy, I want to meet with you. Tell me, I want to know you better. I want to just spend some time with you. Oh, not right now. Not right now. I don't have time for you. Maybe there's some dads that would do that with such a direct request. But our Father in heaven would not do that. And He does not do that. He promises us He will not do that. He will respond to you. He will respond to you. He will meet with you. So tell Him. He wants to hear you say that to Him. Just, you know, you want to hear your child tell you, I love you. I love you. Well, God wants to hear that. Same sort of thing. He wants to hear that from us. So we go to Him with that. Let's go on to the... So we prepare ourselves by saying, I'm going to wait on you. I want to meet with you, God. I want to seek your face. I want to know you. I want more passion for you, because every time I respond to my desire for you, it is wonderful. And I want to know you more. So let's go on to the adoration. We've prepared. We've told God we're coming. We've asked Him to come to us. What do we do when we come to God? Psalm 7:17 is written out there. I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. You might want to be by yourself when you do this, but some of us. But, you know, just God appreciates that you don't have to have a good voice when it's just you and God. You can sing to Him and shout praises to Him if you want to. But, to, you know, that's what I said, the music is just singing it, praising God, telling Him His worth. And it's good to go ahead and develop a list of characteristics of God that you praise Him for. His righteousness. Let's look at a couple of these. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. And the heavens, it just goes on just to praise God, just to worship Him. Now, like I said, I'll run out of words, but there's plenty of words here that we can praise God with and be thankful to Him. And a few of these things that stand out, you want to have a notebook with you and just write those things out. Just write those things out that stand out to you, that really strike you about God. Let's go on to another one. Chapter 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful and the voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks cedars. It's praising God for His power and His might. He is in control. He is the sovereign God. And He is unlimited. And as we bring our request to Him in a little while, it's going to be good that you remember this, that He is unlimited in His strength. He made it all. He put it all together. He wants us to come to Him, and He desires to respond to our prayer, and He's unlimited in His power. So we're praising Him now for that. Let's go on to another. Chapter 33. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise Him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to Him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all He does. It's like, God, I believe what this says about You. I believe You are righteous. I believe You are holy. I believe You are true. I believe that You are all that this says that You are. I put my trust in You. I praise Your name. You're just using this for a springboard. And thanksgiving. We won't go to these, but this one. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. This is not praising Him for His attributes. This is just praising Him for what He's done in your life. Are you walking around? Do you have some amount of health? Well, there are a lot of people that don't. Can you think? Can you speak? Praise Him. Thank Him for that. Do you have enough to eat? Thank Him for that. Do you have a vehicle? Do you have a house? Do you have a family? Do you have friends? Do you have a church? Thank Him for those things. Do you have clothes on your back? Thank Him for those things. When we do not thank God on a consistent basis, we become grumbling and complaining. We become miserable. That happened to the children of Israel over and over again. And that's why the word over and over, Moses would remind them to remember what God did. Set up this pile of rocks and let's remember that God parted the Jordan and we crossed over. Remember what God did. Remember He parted the Red Sea. Remember He provided manna in the wilderness. Remember what God did. Be thankful for what He did. Be thankful for what He does. Or you'll end up like the Israelites, murmuring and grumbling and complaining. That's where you tend to go when you don't spend time thanking God. And so, we just take some time out here and we just thank Him specifically for very basic things that we have that He has provided. You know, there's scripture that talks about specifically that He provides our income. He provides for us financially. He provides for us physically. He holds everything together. If He didn't hold it together, it would fly apart. That He gives us our very next breath. He provides everything. And that we need to be thankful to Him for that. So, now we've come in contact with God here. We should be at a point here that we've come in contact with God. Now, what happens when you come in contact with God? You know one thing that happens? You catch this. You cannot come in contact with God and not catch some glimpse of His holiness. You think about studying through the firm foundations like we've done all through the Old Testament. That is a main point. God is holy. I am sinful. God is holy. There's no hope for me unless He provides a way. So when we catch a glimpse of God's holiness, that's a good time to spend some time confessing and repenting of our sin. Let's go to Psalm 139. I was going to write that out there and I was in a groggy state there when I was working on this and I couldn't make it happen. Psalm 139. I kept doing it in capital bold letters and I couldn't stop it, so I gave up. Psalm 139. (laughs) 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. We are not, as like Carlton was sharing earlier, we are not very alert to our sin. If we're standing a ways away from God, hypothetically speaking, then we can become dull to our own sinfulness until we get into His presence and then we start seeing all this stuff. Now, before you started on your personal retreat day here, if there was some obvious sin, you needed to take care of that first. If there was something obvious, then you needed to repent of that and take care of that. But now you're in a position to hear from God and maybe there's some sin you haven't been aware of. This is the time for that. This is when you, God, is there anything coming between me and You? Is there anything in my life that needs to be dealt with? And I'll tell you, you might not want to hear it, but He'll tell you. He'll tell you. And you'll try to block it down, and you'll try to... That couldn't be what He's saying. But it'll come back. And if you ask Him, it'll come back, and it'll come back. And you'll have to deal with it. So that's why we're asking, reveal any sin, anything that I need to deal with. For this very reason right here, some people will not have this personal prayer retreat. Because they know they're going to come in contact with the holiness of God if they do this. And they know there's something in their life that they're not looking at, that they're ignoring. But get rid of it. It's such a relief. It's such a relief to get rid of sin, to repent of it, to be clean before God, completely accepted by Him, to be in a right relationship with God. Go ahead and deal with it. And this, don't wait on this, but this certainly is a good time to do that. And you know, this is not just the big things. Like I said, after you've been close to God, you'll take a deeper look and you'll discover some things like some inappropriate anger, jealousy, bitterness. I called it in a low level of unforgiveness. I don't know if there's any such thing, but you know what I mean? It's not like you're just really mad at somebody, but you just have this low level. It's always there in the background. This unforgiveness towards somebody. It's just, they're not really, you haven't really taken care of it and you need to forgive them. And that's just blocking, keeping you from having the kind of walk with God that He desires for you to have. It could be worldly thinking. Now that strikes me anytime I really get into God's presence, and I haven't been in a little while. My thinking goes to just worldly thinking. Just thinking of myself, putting myself first, and desiring things. Just a wrong focus. And God will correct this. But it needs to be repented of. That kind of thinking needs to be repented of. Putting other people ahead of God, putting things ahead of God. This is really coming clean with God and asking Him to shine the light on your heart. And this we need to do on a regular basis. We just do. We just do. But let's look at a couple of verses here. This is a verse, I'll admit to you, I go to this verse often. 1 John chapter 1. Starting in verse 8. You know, don't feel alone if you hate to admit that you're wrong. If you hate to admit that there's something you need to repent of. We all are like that. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. That's good news, if you didn't notice. Psalm 51. We'll go to one more here, just because this is an important part of this. This is after some pretty horrendous stuff David had done. We won't go into all of it, but this is some blatant sin. And he's turning to God. Have mercy on me, O God, according to Your unfading love. According to Your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against You, You only have I sinned and done what is evil in Your sight. So You are proved right when You speak and justified when You judge. Then he talks about his sinful nature and that he desires God to reveal to him everything. He does have one line here that says, take not Your Holy Spirit from me. This is Old Testament. God's not going to take His Holy Spirit from you. That's a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance. But He's not going to take His Holy Spirit from you. So that doesn't necessarily apply. But we certainly can be separated from God by our sin. So it does apply in that fashion. Okay. So you've taken care of that. And you can see. Are you with me? You can see. You're starting to come in contact with God here. You're starting to be in His presence. So from this, it's a good thing to to review your calling. Now, you know what I would do right here? Something I would do is I would have been taking notes all through this about things that stood out to me about God. It could be on this sheet that you have in front of you. And for me, I would take that sheet and I'd head out the door and go for a walk. And I would just start reviewing it, talking to God about it, and praying it back to God, and going back over it, praising Him and thanking Him and repenting or whatever needed to be done. And then I'd come back and start into the next section of what is my calling? And I just went ahead and wrote those out for you just to so you didn't have to go to all those verses. But it's we all are called to serve God, to be a part of His work. And He promises to empower us for that work. And He gives us some admonishment that we need to pray and devote ourselves to prayer. And we need to ask for an open door. And, you know, that was an open door that Michelle had on the plane. I was in a doctor's office the other day, and I was doing the same thing. This was a while back. I was reading a book about, what was it about? It might have been about prayer, too. I can't remember. But anyway, the lady that was, you know, doing all the initial stuff, like, she just kind of started, is that a good book? What's that about? And I started to tell her, and she just pulled up a chair and sat down and just started crying. And she said, I'm depressed. She said, I've got this and this and this going on. I don't know what to do. Do you think God has an answer for that? And, you know, we just spent about 45 minutes there just talking about that and looking at some verses. And, you know, God just opened up that door. And we can pray for Him to open up doors for us, to share with people, to share the gospel, and that it would be empowered. And that, as you look this over, this kind of review, it's a good review, and to talk to God about what is your calling, what is He calling you to? And this is just a reminder here. Not only what is He calling you to, but that He'll empower you to do it. And, you know, like in 2 Corinthians 10:4 on your list there, it says the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And that it's confirmation that whatever you're up against, you may have the feeling He's calling you to something that you cannot handle. And that's okay, because God can handle it, and you have divine power on your side, even if Satan really has a hold of somebody, that you have a weapon, and that's prayer. And just encouragement here that the fields are ripe for the harvest, that we need to open our eyes and look for those that don't know God and pray that we'll be used and pray for open doors. It's just a review between you and God of what your calling is and what He is putting on your heart. And the next, there is the prayer list. And there's a blank space there just in case you want to use this same sheet for your time. And, you know, on that list there, I would put, and I'd have on my list every one of you guys. And, you know, I may write some specific thing there. You know, there are other people there that I may be write on there for their salvation, that they would come to be aware of their sinfulness, that they would see the holiness of God, they would be drawn to God, that they would be aware of their sin, that they would just, the burden would be so heavy, they would not be able to take it anymore, and they would turn to God. Just praying for people in that sense. Now, here are some other things that we can pray. And my goal is to pray for everyone in this body for each of these things every week. I don't always get to that, but if I had the name on my list, if Randy was up next, then, you know, I could go down this list where it says intercede, and I could pray all these things for Randy. Now, there are some things that may stand out more, and those are the things I would spend more time on. And there may be some things I would skip over, but I would be praying that Randy would have an inclination to God and to His Word, and he'd have a pure desire that comes from God, and that desire would increase, and that the eyes of his heart would be open to see the wonderful things in God's Word, and that he would believe God if there's a change, that God would reveal to him any change that needs to be made, and he would believe God for that change, and that Christ would really be seen in his life. Fruit would really be seen in his life. And I would go on to list the fruit specifically that he would have joy and he would have love. And maybe one of those would stand out more than the other. And that I could really ask God to really just give him that. And this, you can see, you won't run out of stuff to pray here. And this is straight from the Word. So I'm not saying that to get regimented about this and just to go down your list and just get it done. But rely on the Spirit as you pray. And some things will stand out more than others. And pray for those things. And then, obviously, you need to freelance it and just expect the Holy Spirit to guide you and for what you know about a person's life and where they need prayer and for their encouragement, for their growth, for whatever. And like I said, with this, I would have those lists of names there and then it would be time for me to take another walk because I like to walk and pray. And so I'd have spent some time in the Word and now I'm ready to walk and I'll walk and just go down this list and just pray and check this out and pray as I walk. And, you know, it might be good to change it up. Pray on your knees for a while. Pray standing. Pray with your hands up to the Lord. You know, just change it up so that you don't get stagnant. And there are other verses. If none of those things strike you, there are some other verses there that you could use and make other lists for the future. And the next one there is, I think this is critical, that we pray for the body. That the commitment, the ministry, the purpose, we all should have this. All of us should be committed to the body. All of us should have a burden for the body to be what God has called it to be. So we need to ask God for that if we don't have it. And here's some things that we can pray for that. That we would truly worship God as a body. That we really would adore Him and tell Him of His worth. That we would really go out and make disciples. And that we would baptize and teach people. That we would operate in the power of the Spirit. And that we would be witnesses for Him. We would represent Him well, both here and around the world. And as you think even that, around the world, that might lead you to pray for Turkey. That might lead you to pray for someplace else that God puts on your heart. And that could grow and grow and grow. And it could be that God sends us there. God will lead you like that. Pray that we would have a ministry of reconciliation. We'd be Christ's ambassadors and His fellow workers. That we'd have endurance. That our body would have purity, kindness, patience, wisdom, and knowledge. That we'd be firm in our faith. That we'd overflow with thankfulness. That we would put off the sinful nature. That we would be truthful with each other. We would forgive one another. We'd be clothed with compassion. Now, who would not want to be in a body that has these things? So pray for truthful, clothed with compassion, kindness, and gentleness. We would bear with each other. We'd forgive one another. We'd have a love which binds in perfect unity with the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts. That we would be more like a family. And that we would grow in that. You know, the closer relationships that there are in a body, the tougher it is to maintain a loving attitude. Isn't that strange? But the more things we see in somebody, the more challenge it is to continue to love them when you see things that are not right. Because that's what you're going to see. You're going to see good things, but you're going to see some things that are difficult. So we need to pray that we can handle that as a body. And that we still will get close. And that we still will operate as a family. We'll still be committed to each other. And that prepares you when you do see things that you don't like. That you don't want to have compassion for. That you don't want to forgive. That prepares you that, oh, you know what? This is supposed to be a part of the body. I need to operate in love. I need to forgive. I need to show compassion. I need to have empathy. And I need to speak the truth. And so it goes on. There's a whole list of things there to continue to pray about the body. And, you know, by now, your day has been, you've had some high points, you've had some low points, you've been ecstatic, you've been bored. You know, that's normal. Now, I'm talking to you like I'm really expecting you to do this, huh? Because I am. I hope that this will be implemented into your life. I hope this will be a part of your walk from now on, that periodically you will do this and that your daily time can spring off of this, where you'll have some extended times. Now, A lot of my times in extended times of prayer have not been this calm. You know, it's been more like I've been desperate. I've been desperate. And so it's been in the middle of the night. It's been half the night. And I'm crying out to God. And that's good too. Listening to God. You should have been in contact with God by now. And it might be a time just to get quiet before the Lord. Nap time, right? A time to be still before God and listen to Him. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Be still and know that He is God. Something that God will do, even in the stillness of your heart, even in being quiet before Him, is He'll bring Scripture to your mind. Or He'll bring other things to your mind. He'll verify them by Scripture. He'll verify those things by other people in the body. He doesn't give you stuff that conflicts with Scripture. That didn't come from God, if you got that. It came from you. Or it came from a worse source. But as God leads you, He will speak to you. And He'll verify it too. So, there is a time to just be quiet before the Lord, to listen, and write those things down that God reveals to you. He speaks to you, write them down. Because what will happen, the enemy will convince you that God didn't say it. He didn't speak to you. You imagined it. That's common. That will happen. Next, I think we have to be, we've gone through all this. We know how to pray. We have some specific scripture in mind. We've been in contact with God. We've listened to Him. He's put somebody on our heart by now, hopefully. And it might be that it takes, at some point in the day, some intense prayer, some wrestling in prayer. And that Epaphras is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Let's look at a couple of verses here. Hebrews 4:14-16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Is God withholding mercy and grace from you until you come to Him boldly asking? You have not because you ask not, it says in James. Does He have the answer for your situation, for your dilemma, yet you've not really taken the time to ask Him, to come boldly before the throne? Is there a need in someone else's life that you really see, yet God is waiting for you to bring that to Him because they are helpless to bring it to Him? And 5:7 in Hebrews there. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, He offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save Him from death, and He was heard because of His reverent submission. If Jesus cried out to the Father in this fashion, certainly we can too, and we will be heard. And Hebrews 11:6. All the while, we must be believing God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. And then that Ephesians 6:10, which that's where we've been studying. We won't go there right now unless you just want to. What we've been studying on Sunday night is putting on your armor. And if you're, we're talking about a more intense level of prayer here. If you're going to go to battle for somebody, for a mate, for a child, for someone God has put on your heart, and I hope you respond when God puts people on your heart, because He will, He does, that it may be somebody that is being dominated and controlled by Satan or by the dark angels. And we need to put on our armor. Make sure our armor is on before we go into battle. And we can prayerfully put on our armor. That belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. Oh, God, I know I have no righteousness of my own, but I am in Christ. And I have His righteousness that has been imparted to me. I have the sword of the Spirit. I'm fitted with my shoes, with the gospel of truth. I'm standing on a firm foundation. I have the gospel. I know I've been delivered. Satan has no power over me. He has no power over them. I'm ready. I have all my armor. And I'm going to battle for them. I'm going to battle for them. And we need to be going to battle for people. Because Satan is like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And if he's not getting us, he's getting somebody. And so we go to battle and we stand in the gap and we protect them. And we're called to do that for each other, for the body, even for the lost. We can claim the blood of Jesus that He would deal with them and call them. And I am convinced that this is what it's going to take. If we are really going to do God's work, we could fake it. We could fake it. And we could have some measure of the appearance of success. But if we are going to see lives really transformed, really make disciples, really see people reconciled to God, really see people presenting Christ and their character, really living completely for God, then we're going to have to go this route. I believe that we are. And really be willing to pray and enter into spiritual warfare. So this should be a part of our prayer life. Now you can adopt this, what we've done here, to a family prayer time. You could have a family prayer retreat. Go your separate ways. Kids can hear from God just like adults. Ask them what God's telling them. Ask them what God's speaking to them about. Ask your mate what God's, if you can schedule a time like this. Or even a small group, other believers. Especially when there's about to be a new step taken. When something that you feel that God's calling you to. So I hope that this will encourage you to respond to God's call, to come away with Him, to come away with Him and spend some relaxed and extended time talking to Him, hearing from Him, praising Him, and interceding for others.